How you doing once again, everyone? This is Russ Salzberg, along with my partner, Paulie Dotz, better known as Paul Dottino, or I should say better known as Paulie Dotz.
Or Giants WFAN.
Yes, we're talking about we're Big Blue Kickoff here on Giants.com. The number, as always, is 201-939-4513. If you want to tweet, it is hashtag a Giants chat. And I'm sure everybody still wants a chat. But today we have to move forward because, as Paul and I were talking just before we got on the air, you'd never like to say the second game of the season is a must-win situation. It's far too early. It's, again, it's a 16-game regular season. Having said that, though, Paul, coming off a very bad loss, which I don't think any loss is good, so that's kind of silly. Coming off an ugly loss, let's put it that way, and knowing that the Eagles are the following week, it's another national game on Monday night. Let me tell you, if it's not a must-win situation game, I would call it a very crucial game for Big Blue.
You know, look, they're 0-1 in the division, and we've already talked about how difficult this division's going to be, Russ. It's going to be a very rough battle.
Well, the division's difficult, and let me tell you what. You look at the schedule, it is a killer schedule.
So in that regard, you know, the Giants already now being 0-1 in the division, you got to make some hay. So first things first, you don't want it to get into a tiebreaker situation anyway. So you want to win this game this week at home, Monday Night Football, Detroit Lions coming in, celebrating the anniversary of the 2007 Super Bowl team. There are a lot of reasons that you want to win this game. So, yeah, you want to stop just about a foot and a half short of saying it's a must-win. You can, but it is extremely important that they get back on the horse and set themselves up for a big game against Philly in week number three.
Well, when you say get back on the horse, look, they have to regroup. There's a lot of fixing that needs to be done. You know, David Deal and myself, we were talking about it yesterday. I'm sure you've been talking about it. Mm-hmm. I don't think, and Dave and I disagreed a bit yesterday on the fact that I don't think Odell Beckham Jr. would have made a difference in that particular game. Not the way the rest of the team played. There was, as Ben McAdoo said, there was enough to go around, enough blame. Regardless, you need OBJ coming back, and you need everybody to a man playing better. You know, the one thing that never happened in that game, and as good as, like, defense played well, but when no big play was made when they needed a big play, on offense or defense. Listen, mm-hmm. the defense bent a little but never broke, you know, when they were getting dog-tired at the end, but giving up field goals instead of touchdowns, that was bonus. But when they just needed a stop, you alluded to something when we were chatting, at the end of the first half, late. You know, so everybody, when say there's enough blame to go around, everybody just needs to play better because that was just a flat-out lousy performance, and they have to improve because it is Detroit. Giants are at home. They got a TCB, take care of business.
Well, see, you know, there are so many ways to look at this, but if you want to try to soften the blow and you want to look at it as positively as you can, they've lost a road game, and they always tell you that good teams, you win your games at home and you split on the road. Okay, so if you want to say, okay, Dallas held serve, they won their game against the Giants in their house. Well, obviously, now the Giants are going to have to beat them when they come here at the end of the season. I mean, that goes without saying. You don't want to get swept in the division. It makes things extremely difficult, although Dallas was able to do it, to still make the playoffs. But if you're the Giants, you got to say to yourselves, okay, that game is done. Flush it down the toilet. Let it go right through the sewer, into the river, into the ocean. And you have to say, hey, guess what? We're 0-0 at home. We need to own every game at MetLife Stadium. Let's try to go perfect. Let's try to be 8-0 at home. That way, you only have to win a couple of road games to make the playoffs.
You know, there was some positive talk about the fact that, well, you know, it's a Monday night game, so we got the extra day to work on it.
I'd rather play tomorrow.
Let me tell you something. The guys, to a man, are going to be hearing about everything that went wrong right up until kickoff on Monday night.
Yeah.
And it will continue through unless it's rectified in a hurry.
Russ, we've both been around a long time, and we've seen how teams can react. Some teams will get galvanized and will be angry and will come out with fire and will really, really come out with such ferocity that you're going to say, well, how is that possible when they look so bad the previous week? It'll be like a Jekyll and Hyde situation.
I'll tell you what. My gut feeling is that ferocity is going to start today in practice. I'm going to be really surprised if Ben McAdoo and everybody else almost doesn't have to put the reins on it, guys, because I got a feeling you're going to have some ornery characters in practice who really want to get after it. I think they're chomping at the bit. You know, listen, baseball, hockey, basketball, you have a lousy game. You have an offer at the plate, three strikeouts. You get up the next day, you get a couple of hits and knock in a run, all's better. You have a lousy game in football, that's a long week.
Well, starters in baseball got to go through the rotation again. You get whacked, you got to wait 5 days.
Yeah, but you know what they say? We were talking about it yesterday. They say in baseball, your momentum is only as good as your next night starting pitcher. Doesn't work that way. You got to wait a week. Good, bad, or indifferent, you got to wait a week in football. All right, 201-939-4513 is the number. Twitter, it is hashtag Giants Chat. What do you say we open up the phone lines? And let's start with, let's go up to Maine and speak with Jason. Jason, how you doing today?
Good, how about you guys?
Good, what's going on,
Jason? You're giving us some Maine weather down here. It was like 50 degrees. The windows were open last night, Russ.
Yeah, that's good sleeping.
It might hit 80 here today.
What do you got for us today, Jace?
Just two things. I'm sure you guys saw Beckham. You know how he usually warms up for football games. And they didn't show a whole lot on the television. So I'm just wondering, by what you guys saw with him warming up on Monday night, do you think there's a pretty strong chance he could make it this Monday night to start?
I'm going to paraphrase what Coach McAdoo said. He was real close to making it the other day, and that's why they gave him the test in warm-ups with the route tree a couple of hours before kickoff, because they thought there was a realistic chance that he could be cleared. It was obvious, and I was on the sidelines no more than 20 yards away from him. I watched him warm up, and I did not like the way he looked. I didn't.
Well, I wasn't there. You were there. Jason, from what I got to see afterwards, you know, after we found out that he wasn't playing, they showed us, you know, on the screen about him working out, and there was not, as you were able to see up close, there was not he puts on a show. OBJ puts on a show.
There was no explosion the other day.
There was no explosion, and you could see he was testing it, which was the smart thing to do. And nobody knows your body better than yourself. And you could tell. I could just see they showed that little bit of a interaction with him and Ben. I'm not ready. You know, it just he knows. And that was a smart thing to do.
It was.
Jace, thank you for the call. That's a smart thing to do. You have to know it is a long season. You don't want to be missing this game and the next game and re-injuring it. So let's get it right. And, you know, listen, you got Monday night. My gut feeling is he'd be ready on Monday
there
night.
There are no promises here. But, again, when Ben was asked this question on Monday, he said, look, he was close enough that we wanted to test him on Sunday. You'd like to believe a week later he'd be enough to go over the top. But you don't know for sure.
No, if you're asking me also if it was the 15th game in a season, if it was a playoff game, it was the 14th game and money's on the table, you know, okay, well, if I get hurt, I got all of whatever, the offseason to heal up. But this situation is a different situation. Marco in Connecticut. Marco, how are you? Today you're on with Russ and Paulie.
Russ and Paulie Dotz, how are you guys today?
Hi.
What's going on, Marco?
I'm doing well. Before I get to my point about the offense, so this Monday night's game, when I heard that they were honoring the 07 champions, I bought a ticket.
Right.
I'll be coming to the game. First time in 10 years, actually, that I'm coming to a game.
Nice.
Paul, I was wondering, do you know any details besides how they're honoring the team? And I was wondering specifically if Coach Coughlin will be there.
I don't know, but I would say how they're honoring the team. I'm sure there'll be a, as they do when they're honoring anybody, Marco, It'll be a halftime ceremony.
Yeah, I've been told they're going to parade all the guys out, and they've reached almost every one of them and gotten a confirmation. I can't say it's 100% attendance because, you know, I don't know that for a fact, but I do know that the percentage is high, and I know the details. I believe that Bob Pop is going to be doing the emceeing, and they're working out the details as we speak.
You know what, Marco? I don't want to speak from who did the Jaguars play this week? Let me take a look.
I think they're playing Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if Tom will be there or not. I would think I know a lot of the players are going to be attending because he's having his big dinner.
Yeah,
Jay Cipriani, right. on Friday night. But
okay,
they're home, Jacksonville, by the way, and that's another whole can of worms because the league has not decided yet what's going to happen to the three Florida teams.
Anyway, Marco, what's your offense question?
Let's talk about this. So last year, Paul, I called, you know, I've talked to you a ton of times, and we've talked about the team from last year and the offensive problems last year. Mm-hmm. And I gave into the fact that last year they were playing in that same personnel week after week because of the lack of variability they could roll out with, considering there was not a blocking tight end or a quality blocking tight end, considering there was no fullback.
Yep.
There was no Will Johnson on the team.
Yep.
So now this year, and I've gotten into arguments with some Giants fans about what has the team done this year. And I'm like, well, what have they done is they brought in Brandon Marshall, who's a great blocker. They brought in a fullback, Shane Smith. They've brought in Rhett Ellison, not to mention DJ Fluker, who didn't suit up the other night. And they're looking at it like, hey, we're going to get this young offensive line in year two with Mike Solari, and we're going to roll the dice on them. We feel pretty confident that they're going to be okay. I got to say, after last week, I'm not pushing the panic button, but I just want to know where do you see the changes coming? Are they going to be black and white, like, hey, Jones in for Jerry or Fluker in for Hart? Or is it more subtleties like I mentioned with Ellison giving a little help? I'm just curious what's going to happen because, listen, this schedule – is not going to tone down at all, and I do have serious concern about Eli getting protection when they really rev it up against the AFC West.
Well, Marco, thanks very much for the call. I think Paul, you would agree on this. What are they going to do as a black and white? It depends upon how it progresses. Listen, they certainly can't take another performance like Monday night.
No,
I mean, I think you would see major things being done. I think. You know, the coaching staff went to work looking at the films, see what can be done this week in practice. I don't know if you're going to see a change right away. You know, you made a very good point when we were talking earlier, the logic about preparation, and you did a comparison. Why don't you tell our viewers and our listeners about this astute comparison that you made?
Guys, I don't know how many of you are married or not, okay, but I want you to just take this and chew on it for a second. How many times, okay, have you come home from work, you made the stop at the candy store, you made the stop at the florist, you come home, you see the wife, it's your anniversary, you say, hey, honey, going to take you out for dinner tonight. I got reservations at this great Italian place. And she looks at you and says, oh, but I really wanted Chinese. And the intent and the effort meant nothing because now she's ticked off and your night is ruined.
Now, do you understand, Paulie Dotz, how can you dispute that kind of logic? It makes perfect sense. Now, your wife probably got annoyed because you decided to say, let's look at some old Giants footage, you know, take notes and prepare. That's how you get romantic. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I do want to address one thing the caller said, though, and it does bear some review because as the Giants move forward, whether or not there's a lineup change, and certainly I think Coach McAdoo has already alluded to the fact, even a couple of weeks ago, that if certain things aren't going right, he will not hesitate to make a move because there's competition there. Brett Jones, DJ Fluker, these guys are trying to get themselves some snaps. Jones seems to be a little bit further ahead. But it does bear questioning that Ellison only played 19 snaps or 33% of the offense, and Smith played only 8 snaps. Only 14% of the offense. you want to believe that now that they have these pieces, which was supposed to help and supposed to give them some semblance of a running game and was supposed to help maybe help protect off the edge a little bit, they didn't play very much in the first game. The Giants perhaps didn't think game plan-wise they were going to be necessary. So maybe they weren't really a part of the game plan, Russ. Well, it turned out they were necessary, and the game was a bust. Well, let's see now going forward against Detroit. Do the Giants believe that these guys need to be part of the game plan?
Well,
we'll see.
I don't think they put them on the team for any other reason but for sure thinking that they needed them. I mean, I think that goes – listen.
Sure.
Everybody's been talking about to a man. Fans, media, everybody's been talking about how important Red Ellison is going to be to this team, like from point of attack and everything else. And everybody's been talking about, hey, we got a fullback this year. So, hey, look, I don't remember every play, Paul, at the beginning of the second half, but like we were talking about it yesterday here.
Eli hit 9 straight passes in the start of the third quarter on that drive, but then they settled for a field goal, which is what ruined
them. And not only did they have to settle for a field goal because on 2nd and 2, they had the killer sack, and that was the end of that. To me, and we discussed it yesterday, and when you look back at a game to say what ifs, because you know what they say about what ifs.
Yeah.
If ifs and buts were candies and nuts, what every day would be, not Hanukkah, Christmas. Yeah. having said that, you know, if they go in and score that touchdown and it's a 16-7 game coming right out of the gate to open up the third quarter, it's a completely different ball game because the Giants' confidence would be there. Not only did they settle for the field goal, but they settled for the field goal, and with that, confidence went south.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's a very big situation. That was a crucial, crucial play. Kenny in New Jersey. Kenny, how you doing today?
Hey, fellas. How we doing?
What's going on, Ken?
Same old, same old. Good to talk to you. I wanted to put out a stat that I heard. It was a comedy guy said it on social media, but it rang some bells for me. According to him, the New York Yankees on Sunday scored more points than the New York Giants.
More than the Giants and Jets combined. A lot of guys were saying that. So I don't know who said it, but a lot of guys said that. Yes.
But there's another stat, and I don't know if it's true or not. They said the entire stable of running backs the New York Giants had ran a total of the distance from home plate to first base. Please put that as a bulletin board material.
Well, they don't need bulletin board material. they need to look at the game plan, the game films, and see what they did.
Yeah. I'm never happy about a Giants loss, but I am kind of happy that it was a stinker in prime time. So maybe next year we don't have to start the season in prime time in Dallas yet again.
Well,
hopefully.
And thanks for the call, Ken. I think Kenny's one of the few people, from a Giants fan's perspective, that he's happy it was a stinker in prime time. I don't know if anybody was hoping that they'd get a stinker in prime time. DJ in Connecticut. DJ, you're on with Russ and Paulie Dotts. What's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, DJ?
Hi.
Appreciate it. Your first caller kind of took up both my first question. I think Jones and Fluker should come in on the right side. Hopefully by next game. That's my opinion on the matter. I want to bring something up. Paul, I think you're the smartest guy most of the time, but I do have issue with something you said earlier this week because it's the fact that we haven't scored more than 20 points since playing Cleveland. This is quite a streak. I know it's a new season, but 10 out of 11 guys
last
year are on the field.
Hold on. I have no problem with anybody having an opinion, but when you base it on a game streak that bridges two NFL seasons, that's where I have a problem. And I've said this to other people before. I said it on the show last week. If you want to tell me that there are season-to-season streaks where there are large bodies of work, I'll buy it. But when you get into consecutive game streak performances that bridge a 6.5, 7, 8 month gap between the previous game, flush that down the toilet because I'm not going there. It means nothing.
That's fine. That's your opinion. I'm just saying we haven't scored
different
many
personnel.
Points, you know,
totally different personnel, different set of circumstances, different personnel. I don't think there's a correlation to that at all.
Okay, I'll move on from that. But my main question is, I want to know what you guys thought Tomlinson did as for his first game as a rookie. And I had one more thing I want to bring up. I know Travis Rudolph is on our practice team.
Yep.
I like him a lot. I'm glad he's there. I thought Roger Lewis did okay. I thought there was a couple times he sidestepped rather than driving forward and getting that first down. But I really liked Rudolph's performance over the preseason. I thought he made guys miss. I thought he was shifty. He was quick. And I thought he gave a quite a burst to the offense. And I think he should be on the team and provide that burst.
Well, you know what, DJ, thanks for the call. But it's easy to say, and this is something you're preaching to the choir here, because both of us, Paul and myself, both like Travis Rudolph a great deal. But, you know, who are you going to cut or not put on the team in place of Travis Rudolph? Is it going to be Roger Lewis? I don't think so. Roger Lewis, you know, played last year. I don't think Roger Lewis did anything wrong. Is it going to be Tavares King? I don't think so. You're talking about special teams? Am I right?
King's the fastest guy on the team, pure speed. So they had a reason to want to keep him.
Yeah, I just, listen, we like Rudolph, both of us, a great deal. I mean, believe me, when we were looking at the cuts and he didn't make it, both of us were kind of like sad about it. However, let me say this also about before, as Parcells used to like to say, he's on a practice squad. Let's not make him think of his bust now in Canton just quite yet. And remember something, what he was showing in preseason wasn't against the first teams.
That right there is your best logical argument against putting Rudolph on the 53.
He was doing it
against third and fourth string corners.
You know, there's a difference.
And there's a huge difference because the drop-off in the NFL.
It's enormous.
In the depth chart at cornerback, you know, it's enormous. It's huge.
It's a big, big deal.
And so if you want to give a logical argument, you could say, hey, we're not sure that Rudolph against first and second string corners in this league who are going to press, get physical, get in your grill, and beat you up off the line of scrimmage, we're not 100% sure that he can beat that kind of defense. And if he can't, then the truth is it's not good to have him on the roster. So without that on film, that's part of the reason I believe that the Giants would have decided to put him on the practice squad. Your other question was about Tomlinson. He played 44 snaps or 59% of the defensive snaps. He was in the rotation. I thought he did a solid job. Not necessarily as good as B.J. Goodson, who was the other young fella who had a monster game with 18 tackles.
Listen, and I saw you interview him after the game. B.J. Goodson, you know, obviously there's been a lot of talk, you know, just from the defensive side, because everybody was raving about the defense going into this season, and rightfully so. But I don't know. I don't want to use the term soft, but the weaker part, if you say the Giants are strong up front, strong in the back, maybe a little not quite as good at the linebacker position, but all of a sudden B.J. Goodson makes that linebacker core very, very, you know, very impressive. So
he's something else.
He really is. I mean, he looked certainly in that game, he was the real deal.
It's a small sample, Russ, but you have to feel very good about what you saw. And again, I don't want to compare because it's unfair to Kelvin Shepard because he was only a rundown linebacker, and B.J. played all downs
right
the other night. He was a full-time backer. So it's a bit unfair to compare the stats, but if you do want to look at the production, the most tackles that Kelvin Shepard had in a game last year was 8, and Goodson had 18 against Dallas.
Pretty impressive. 201-939-4513 is the number on Twitter. It is hashtag Giants Chat. Let's go to Len in Columbia, Maryland. Lenny, how are you, my friend?
Okay, Russ. Okay. How you doing, Paulie?
What's going on, Len?
Hey, not much to say except ugh. You
know? Okay.
You know, listen, respect the Cowboys. Circle the date in December.
Yeah.
And let's play the schedule until then.
Len, there needs to be a payback there, like what Dallas did to pay back the Giants for last year's sweep.
Yeah. Listen, respect what they did.
Yeah.
They outplayed us. They were better than us on the field the other night. Pay them their respects. Circle the date. We'll get them next time.
Well, I mean,
we'll get them next time.
Screw the respect. Just remember, get them the next time. I mean, I don't need to respect them.
Right.
Screw the respect.
Okay. We can do that too. Hey, listen, couple of things, couple of positives. I'm not necessarily in this order, but I liked the way Tomlinson played the other night, and I can just imagine, you know, when he gets up to NFL weight and strength.
Yeah.
He's going to be a real player.
Len, they just opened the box on him, and he's already this good.
Yeah. Just you know, put him in the game, start him, and, you know, bring the other guys off the bench, dispel him a little bit. But don't let this guy sit. Don't hold him back. Let this guy play. Secondly, and Russ alluded to this, you know, a couple of minutes ago, you know, the linebackers are good. This is the best set of 4-3 linebackers we've had in a long, long time. And what I like about them, and you guys both talked about this, is the physicality. I tell you, Goodson and Kennard, you know, the old Lovie Smith line for linebackers, find the ball and arrive angry. And those guys do, and Casillas adds to it, too. That's been nice to watch.
Yeah, no, Len, thank you for the call. They look like a group. Again, they play with a lot of they're tenacious, and you like seeing, you know, there's something about Giants linebackers over the years. It's a glamour position.
I don't know how long a long time is in terms of Len's definition, but I'll tell you what, in 2011, when they won the Super Bowl, Michael Boley actually had a heck of a year at weak side linebacker.
Right.
And then when they got Chase Blackburn to come off the sofa, off the couch in the middle of the season,
terrific.
Boy, was he great down the stretch and in the playoffs.
He really
and
was.
And the Super Bowl.
Yes, he was.
So I don't want to – and I get it. And Kiwanuka was the strong side backer on that team. And, you know, we talked a million times about how he was out of position. But, you know, he held up. He was solid. But I don't want to disrespect what Boley and Blackburn did for that Super Bowl team, because they really stepped up their game and helped the Giants grab a trophy.
Muggsy in Kansas City. Muggsy, how you doing today?
Hey, what's going on? This is nice,
hi.
Man.
Hello.
I'm still here.
Go ahead, Muggs.
What I wanted to say was this, man. Last year I called in and said, I really didn't like McAdoo. I still don't like him.
Muggs, hold on a second. Do me a favor. Walk away from your computer because we're getting feedback.
Okay.
All right.
Can you hear me now?
Better.
Yes, now it's much better. Okay.
Much better. Okay. Because I think that what he did, signing Red Ellison and all of that, is window dressing. At the end of the day, he's not committed to playing power ball inside the five, inside hard line. We're going to close out very many drives when we're on the 2-yard line and aren't going to line up and run the ball 3 times. I mean, sometimes you've just got to issue the challenge to your team. We need 2 yards. Let's go get it. You know what I'm saying? And I just think McAdoo is what he is. It doesn't matter if he had 5 Pro Bowl fullbacks on the team. He won't put them out there enough to make a difference. We all know that the running game, especially with a non-running team, is about rhythm. And you're not going to get rhythm running the ball 12 times a game.
Well, yeah, but Muggs, Muggs, do me a favor. In the future, thank you for the call. But in the future, and it goes for anybody else, please, we want to take all your calls and love chatting, but you got to either turn it down or just move away into another room, but it doesn't work that way. You want to get into rhythm. passing game, running game, kicking game, whatever game, scratch your butt game, whatever it is, you got to be doing it, and you got to protect the quarterback, and have to have time up front to do it. Otherwise, there's no rhythm. So that's in any and everything. If you're not passing, you're not going to get into a rhythm. If you're not running, you know, you can say that about anything.
You know, Russ, and I know a lot of people have been talking about, well, how much pressure was there really on Eli? And there was enough. I know, I think one of the analytics services said Eli faced one of the fewest percentages of pressure of any quarterback in the first week of the season. Here's the bigger point, okay? It's not just about the three sacks or the handful of quarterback hits that he took. If you don't have any semblance of a running game, you cannot keep a defense honest.
Well,
they will cheat against your pass, and it's not just about guys pinning back and coming hard after your QB. It's about how they're going to play your pass receivers and how they're going to play their zone. They're going to stuff you. The Giants had hardly any yak yardage when the game mattered. They got some garbage at the end. And that's because they couldn't run the ball.
And not being able to run the ball is one thing. Not being able to run the ball when you don't have your most explosive player on the sideline at wide receiver. I mean, so that just adds to that problem.
No question. So, you know.
It becomes a domino effect.
And really what happened, and then the other critics are coming at me on Twitter saying, well, they didn't have enough chances to run the ball. They didn't run the ball enough. What happened? Well, the Giants had six offensive snaps in the first quarter. They had the ball for 9 minutes in the first half. By the time they got something going.
What were the plays, 49 to 20 in the first half?
I don't remember the snap count, but it was 20 minutes to 9.
Yeah,
it was ridiculous.
No, the amount of plays, I'm pretty sure, was something. It was either like 49 to 19, 49 to 20. It was, think about it.
And the truth
more
of
than
the,
double.
Truth of the matter is, okay, it's 16-0 at half, 16-3 when they get that field goal, and now they're demoralized, and they're climbing uphill. Most teams in that situation, they're probably not going to run it very much at that point anyway. So the way the game kind of went, you know, that's why they did not try to run the ball more. So, you know, here's the bottom line. They got to play Detroit Monday night. Let's see what happens.
Anthony, you're on with Russ and Paulie Dutz down in Dallas. Anthony, what's going on?
Russ, Paul, big-time follower of you, Russ, for a long time. I grew up in New York.
All right, my
cool.
friend.
I remember you for those days. I won't take too much of your time. I just wanted to get your take on this offensive line. I know you've probably answered this a million times over the last couple of days. What can we do here to, I mean, moving forward after 1 week, is there anything that we could shuffle around, maybe bring some other talent in? But, man, they looked, horrible.
Anthony, off of one game, this is going to sound silly. They just have to play better. After
right.
one game,
right.
really, think about it. They have to play better. And when I say play better after one game, I'm talking about starting today in practice when they're back
right.
at it. And if not, then you're going to have to see changes. I don't know that you're seeing changes this week. I don't know if you're going to see changes going into the game. I don't know that there should be changes, quite frankly. No, I'm serious.
Right.
Do I think they more or less – it was a complete stinkeroo the other night? Yeah. But, again, it can be fixed. It needs to be fixed. There's no maybes about it. As we said earlier, it's a crucial game, Anthony. They need – you don't want to go 0-2 and have another division game staring you in the face with
right.
you know, in Philadelphia. So
right,
you know, it's very important. But let's put it this way. I don't think – and I think Paul would agree with me, Anthony, and thank you for the call. I think Paul would agree that if there is a problem, it's not going to – if you're going to get the same thing early on
there won't be much patience.
Exactly. If you're going to get the same thing early on, you're going to see the same nonsense going on in the first quarter against the Lions. Heads are going to start rolling immediately. There's not – again, it's a crucial game. It's not a must win because you don't like to say a second game, but it's a very important – you know what? That's – let me correct myself. They're all important. They're all very important games.
Yes.
They're playing in a tough division. They already are one game behind the Dallas Cowboys. They're all tough games. And it's this schedule, let me tell you something. I'm looking at the schedule. What's easy about the schedule? Dallas, Detroit, at Philly, at Tampa, Chargers, at Denver, Seattle, Rams, Frisco. I mean, I'm looking at games. The only one that I see is like, okay, easy is Frisco, and it's in Frisco. I mean, really? So they're all important. You got to take care of business, and they need to do it ASAP.
Understand this. Coach McAdoo referred to this right before the Patriots game, and we had a production meeting with him beforehand. And he said, when I asked him about Fluker and Brett Jones, and I said, in terms of that competition, what are the things you have to figure out and decide as you sort through whether or not you would make a change with John Jerry and how that competition is going to work out? And Coach was very honest and said, Brett Jones, very smart player, does everything you ask, a lot of energy, but he's undersized. And everybody knows that, you know, it's going to be hard to go through a 16-game schedule with an undersized center in Richburg and an undersized right guard because teams will exploit those two guys next to each other, Russ. Bigger, stronger teams, and I've talked about this on the show a lot. If you've got a big defensive interior line, that's where you're going to attack. Now, Fluker, bigger guy, but struggles some in pass protection. So now you kind of have to weigh, if you're going to make a change from John Jerry, which guy do you want, the apple or the orange?
Well, the thing is, though, like as you mentioned about let me take the other side of that. You mentioned Brett Jones on the smaller side. Okay,
right.
Fair enough. So they can exploit that? Well, they did some – there was some exploitation going on Monday night with what they have.
Yes.
So
maybe you take a shot.
That's exactly right. You take a shot.
Now,
if
this
it doesn't
week,
work, you take a different shot.
The Lions, okay, they played Cornelius Washington at defensive end and A'shaun Robinson at defensive tackle. I believe they're going to be the guys on that side of the line against the right side of the Giants line. Washington is 6'4", 265, okay? So not the biggest, hulkiest, strongest, most powerful defensive end you're going to find. Robinson is 6'4", 307. 307 is not massive for a defensive tackle.
Right.
Okay? That's a little bit on the underside. And at 6'4", to be honest, that's the kind of guy that Brett Jones could get leverage on because he's shorter, he's smaller. He can get into him, and he can hold his ground better because of his force of gravity and his lower center of gravity. If that's who he's going to go against, this may not be a bad time to try Brett Jones. So that's why I think the hook is going to be quick if John Jerry's not doing well.
Oh, no, trust me, the hook's out there. I mean, they're waiting off stage if things don't evolve in a positive direction very early on. Come Monday night. 201-939-4513 on Twitter. It is hashtag Giants Chat. You're listening to Russ Salzburg along with the one and only Paulie Dotz. Back to the phone lines we go. Let's go to Dave in North Carolina. Dave, what's going on, my friend?
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Just wanted to touch in again, Paul. I understand you not liking to compare year to year. But I want to lean on you guys because, listen, you guys have seen more football than I have. You're there. You live it and breathe it more than I get to. So I'm envious of that, and I want to respect your opinions. But how does this get better? And I think, you know, I know especially Paul, you probably get tired of the Debbie Downer calls and attitude, but it'd be different. If we were in a rebuild mode or building something mode, but I look at this roster,
right,
and everything's in place, and I just don't. After watching last night's performance, Sunday night's performance,
yeah, right.
I get really concerned, and I hate to keep harping on that O line, but I want to plug a couple things in the media that I saw. Peter King has a you can go to YouTube or Monday Morning Quarterback, and he breaks down that play from the 2 yard line where we had a chance to score.
Oh yeah, I know. It wasn't good.
If you watch that play, gentlemen, I mean that's scary how bad that was. I mean, we've got five guys in the block now. Granted, Ingram was probably there more just a chip or just to be a decoy. There was no twist stunts, no blitzes. It was four man. coming against four other men, and they just whooped them.
Dave,
and it's ugly.
But Dave, I don't think you'd get any argument from myself, from Paul, or from anybody else regarding it was disheartening to watch. Having said that, though, what do you know when you're talking about? And Paul made a good point. You know, it's last year. Just to say they didn't do anything or make any corrections from last year to this year, that is not entirely fair. I should say it's not close to being fair. They brought in a fullback. They brought in Brett Ellison. They brought in a new tight end. They drafted a tight end in Evan Engram. They brought in Brandon Marshall. Those are all things they needed. All things that needed to be addressed. A fullback, a blocking tight end, a receiving tight end, a big target in Brandon Marshall.
Sure,
so it wasn't
sure.
like he didn't do anything. Now, I would say to you, you can't go through this season. You can't even go through another four games. You can't go through another three games without this being corrected. But I think based on the coaching's logic and GM and everybody, and the organization's logic, they went into this season believing that the offensive line is going to work. Whether you believe it, or I believe it, or Paul believes it, or mommy and daddy believe it, that's another story. But the point is, if the coaching staff went into the season believing it, or the organization, you can't blow it up just after one game and say, out the window.
Russ, he wants to know what to do, and here's what I would do if I was the head coach.
I'll say this before you chime in, Paul. Paul, you got to admit, brother, the optimism in your voice. And now, I know it was part of getting the season started, man, but you thought you were licking your chops, man.
You know
you
why?
Thought this was going to be the game.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And
everything.
And I did, too, because I'm thinking this is a weak front.
Yeah, no doubt.
Hey, man.
No
even
doubt.
Even though the offensive line is struggling, we can get off to a good start here because they're not going against the doomsday defense.
I couldn't agree with you more, and I'm not backing down from anything I said. And chances are, if the Giants perform up to their level of expectation, when Dallas comes here at the end of the season, I'll probably pick the Giants to win the game. Because I still, in my heart of hearts, believe in the core football experience and knowledge that I've gained over the years. And I'm not going to let one game and one horrible night throw away 35 years of NFL experience. Okay?
Peter King in his video is almost making an indication that if they don't start leaving somebody like in Ellison full-time, Eli's not going to make it through the season.
Well, here's what I would do. If I was head coach, you're not going to let me. Can you let me be head coach? Can I do this?
Dave, thank you.
Yeah.
All right, okay, listen.
Just listen a second.
All right, go ahead. I want to be head coach for just 1 minute. This is what I'm going to do.
Oh, you love being head coach at a Giants.
Oh,
you love being. God, you could see him on the pom-poms
hey,
on the
side. No, let me tell you.
Paulie Nuts.
I got enough agita now. You don't want to put me in that chair. Trust me.
Head coach right. Paulie Dots.
I'm going to be head coach for about 35 seconds here. This is what I want to do. And I'm taking this from watching guys like Dan Reeves, Tom Coughlin, Bill Parcells.
Ray Hanley? You're going to come.
I didn't go there. And I wish you would not go there either.
Okay, go ahead.
But, I mean, I've been around some real winners, okay?
Go ahead.
Here's what I would do. I would grab these guys in their first day in this week. All right? They're going to be here today, by the way. And I would get those films, those game films, and I would cut up the offense's films, and I'd get the offense and the offensive line in the room together. And I would embarrass the heck out of those guys. And I would show it to them, and I would say, fellas, you have worked. This is what you lift all those weights for, like Parcells used to say, right? And I would say, listen, you guys broke your butt for me since March. Eric Flowers, you went to boxing school. You conditioned yourself. You strengthened yourself. Bobby Hart, you strengthened yourself. You conditioned yourself. Why did you guys put 6.5 months of breaking your butts into a product and give me this on tape? Why would you do that? Why did you waste your time and my time? Because everything that you did showed for nothing the other night. And I would embarrass them, and I would challenge them as professionals to say, show me that those 6.5 months you put in was worth something and show it to me against Detroit on Monday night. That's how I would kickstart this week, and I'm with Russ. I would have fire out at practice the second they get to the field. How about
fire.
That?
Dave, I'm ready to go out off that speech. Let's go kick some butt right now, Dave. Are you kidding me? Thank you for the call, my friend.
That's what I would do. But that's the Paisan in me. Okay? That's the Paisan.
Paulie Dutz, the Paisan. I could see the headlines tomorrow. Paulie Dutz.
But that, and I'm not joking. That's how I would approach it. I would approach it. I would make them face up to it and say, what did you waste all your time for to put that on tape?
I'll tell you what. They don't need to be brought into a video room today because you know what?
They know.
Did you see Pugh after the game? I mean,
I did not catch up to him afterwards.
The disgust in his face and in his words. I mean, they knew. They knew. Believe me, they knew. I'm sure that was the most miserable plane ride for those guys coming home. They knew what they did. And I'm sure it's been eaten away. The best thing that they could do is get into work today. Because they knew. What did you guys? They got in like 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, it was rough.
On Monday.
It was rough.
So, yesterday, you know, whirring around. I'm telling you, they knew. And it's just going to be reinforced when they see it. They knew. And they know what everybody's talking about. They know what everybody's writing about. They know what the fans feel. They know what the media feels. They know what everybody's talking about. Everybody is talking about it. They know. So it's just going to get reinforced.
Well, and that's why you have to appeal to each one of those guys' inner soul and say, okay, you know? Okay, prove us wrong now. Prove us that that's not you, what we see on the tape. That's why. That's exactly why. You have to appeal to each guy in his inner soul to pull it out of him.
And you know what? I've heard this. I'm going to make a comparison. I've heard this. In the boxing business, in the fight game, you know, you've heard a trainer look, sit in a corner, talk to his guy. Okay, you don't have your best stuff tonight. What are you going to do about it? Mm-hmm. You got to reach for something extra. What are you going to do about it? Okay, like, then you got to appeal to intangibles and everything else. Now, the one thing that Coach McAdoo said, and I buy that, and when I hear and see people writing about it, I really think it's not fair that they didn't show up, they didn't care, they didn't try. That's bull. That is pure bull. Sometimes you just get your butts kicked, your bells rung, and that's the way it is. It doesn't mean you're not trying. That is unfair. Like boo a team if they're not trying. Losing is a different story. But this team tries. I mean, I don't think nobody's more aggravated. Fans... As aggravated as the fans are, trust me, they're not aggravated any more than those players. Not even close. Bobby in D.C. Bobby, you're on with Russ and Paulie Dutz. What's up, Bobby?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hi.
I'm so glad you guys took my call. I'm hearing you guys talk, but I got to say something to you guys before we even go any further. Okay, look. You got to check the stats on this now. This is very important, what I'm about to say.
Go.
Beckham is the best receiver in the league. He's the only receiver in the league that can get open on a double team in 3 seconds. 3 seconds. Last year, we checked the stats. Eli got rid of the ball in a record time. Okay?
Right. A little under 2.5.
If you keep rid of the – I'm sorry?
A little bit under 2.5.
Okay, exactly.
I think it was 2.3, something like that.
It was record time. So what happens now, it's kind of smart that Reeves didn't change the O-line because there's no need to. If Eli get rid of the ball like he did last year, and I mean, that can get open within 3 seconds, all they got to do is hold a block for 3 seconds. Anybody can do that. And what happened is he got only, what, sacks 11 times last year, something like that? So what that does, it almost makes it seem like the O-line is doing their job. When they're really not. Eli just getting the ball to Beckham within 3 seconds.
The scheme is part of the deal. Absolutely.
Exactly. So now the Beckham on a field – the O-line has to hold the ball longer than 3 seconds because other receivers now must get open. Okay, so that's kind of showing it's a light little there because he's down the field Eli got to hold the ball so they can get open. So now,
to some degree, yeah, what you say holds water, but that's not the entire problem.
Okay. That's not the entire thing. So now we have Brandon Marshall. Brandon Marshall has done something twice that Odell Beckham has not done in his career yet, which is 1,500 yards plus 10 touchdowns. So Eli must study and find out how did Marshall get 1,500 yards in his career. See, what happens is,
let me stop you for a second, though. The Brandon Marshall getting 1,500 yards, you know, was a younger Brandon Marshall, too.
No, it wasn't. It was 2 years ago, sir. I'm sorry.
Well, okay, then, yeah. Well,
but Brandon Marshall got
1,500
yards in 2015.
And I understand that's not that long ago, so you're saying he should be somewhat resembling that same player. But I will say
I'm sorry. What I'm saying is, Brandon Marshall's a different receiver. See, when we were on the 4-yard line and Eli looked at Brandon Marshall in the end zone right next to his player, mm-hmm. he should have thrown the ball. He has to trust Brandon Marshall and how he did what he did.
Someone asked Brandon Marshall and Eli Manning the other day, did you guys know that throughout the preseason that Eli had not thrown a pass completion to Brandon Marshall?
And I really do believe,
even as Brandon Marshall had said during training camp, it is going to take time for us to develop that chemistry and that timing. He admitted that.
Trust.
And he all yes, and that trust. And he said, I don't know how many games or how many weeks it's going to take. But you know what? When you realize that Eli had never completed a ball to Brandon Marshall through the 4 preseason games, albeit both guys missed time during the preseason, you have to wonder how much was that ability to connect affected. Yeah. I would understand that. It's valid.
Let me say one more thing before I hang up, please.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay, what happens is Eli is a different type of quarterback. He's so used to throwing to a receiver that's open. Well, Brandon Marshall has never had the speed to really to get into open field. He will beat his man in the air. So Eli's not going to throw the ball to Brandon Marshall if he's not showing separation.
No, hold on. Now, on that point, you got it reversed. Eli throws to timing and routes, and he is one of the quarterbacks who doesn't throw to – but he doesn't throw to open guys. There are other quarterbacks in this league, and Brandon Marshall explained this to us. Ryan Fitzpatrick throws to open receivers. Eli throws to spots and tells the receiver, you go get it. That's a totally different deal.
Brandon Marshall would never be – he's never open. He's never – somebody's always right there with him when he catches the ball.
Bobby, listen.
Always. I studied Brandon Marshall over the last 2 years looking at his film. Somebody's always on him.
Bobby, they did not – and thank you for the call. They did not sign Brandon Marshall because they didn't expect him to be getting the ball. It was, again, as Coach McAdoo said – there was a lot of blame to go around. I mean, I think it's a little unfair for people to say, you know, almost like Brandon didn't show up or he was invisible. What was it, Brandon's fault? I think it was a result of a lot of things going wrong on the offense. But, I mean, Brandon Marshall's going to catch balls, and I'm sure he's going to catch a fair amount of them this year. It just – what's what we've been talking about for 2-3 days now. It was a stinker on Sunday night, an absolute stinker. So it's got to be corrected. I mean, there were a lot of things that went wrong. That's all got to be corrected. But to sit here and, you know, tell us that Brandon Marshall, I mean, we know he was a terrific receiver. And he still is. And he's a big target. But it was one game.
Russ, I will say this. I'll take every dollar you have in your wallet and every dollar I have in my wallet right now. And I will bet anybody out there that Eli and Brandon Marshall throw extra passes at practice this week. Guaranteed.
I'm sure. We're going to sound like a broken record, you know, and I don't want to keep saying it's just one game, it's just one game. But, I mean, are you going to make a whole season's body work on one game? You know, we're not – thank goodness we're not talking about the offensive line now. We're talking about Brandon Marshall. I mean, really. You know, it's – let's wait and see. Let's wait and see what happens on Monday night. We've got time for one more. Let's go to Mike out on Long Island. Mike, how you doing today?
Okay. How are you guys?
Hello.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good lunchtime, whatever you want it to be. What's up there, Mikey?
I'm I've been watching Eli Manning since he came into the league. One of his greatest attributes is his ability to go through his progressions, find the open man, and throw the long ball. That's what Eli Manning was great for. It's unfortunate that the past number of years, he doesn't have that ability to do that. In fact, he admitted last year he did not have enough time to go through his progressions. I'm from the old school. I look for a punishing offensive line. Give me a couple of receivers that are one-on-one could beat that matchup, and give me a couple of backs. That's the offense that I am familiar with. Not this garbage that you got right now. You're going nowhere with Eli Manning with this. He has to have time to go through his progressions. McAdoo has tried to transform Eli into Aaron Rodgers. He's not Aaron Rodgers.
Well, I don't know. I don't think that's fair, Mike. He's not trying. Eli is just fine being
this stink and dunk Eli Manning never did before. He wasn't that kind of a quarterback. His best attribute is going long down the field. How many times has he made long plays? How did he win the Super Bowl?
Mike, I don't want you to have a heart attack. No. Mike, please calm down. Mike, go take some Xanax. Relax. Have a good day. Thank you for the call. My goodness gracious. Holy mackerel. That was a nice, simple call. You could hear it going nuts like the freight train was getting revved up.
You know what's interesting? He was so upset about that, and he was ignoring the fact that to set up and to take deep drops in the pocket and to wait for long routes to be established, you need to have time. And the way this offensive line is playing right now, you can't throw those long ball passes because Eli will not have time to do so. And he probably wouldn't be able to physically play in the second half because of the beating he might take. Right?
Look, he's not looking to change him into Aaron Rodgers. I mean, that's the silliest thing I've ever heard. I mean, really. When he came as the offensive coordinator, Tom Coughlin, who won a couple of Super Bowls with Eli, wasn't looking to have him transferred into somebody else. We all know the situation. It needs to be fixed for the umpteenth time. Yes, it needs to be fixed. The O-line needs to be fixed. The running game needs to be fixed. Everything needs to be fixed.
Russ, it's only Wednesday, which means...
I think what you need to do, you need to go to the store, pick up some flowers, as you said. Go to the store, pick up some flowers. Go tell your wife that you love her. And then you're going to say, honey bunch, why don't we go upstairs? We'll snuggle. We'll turn on some game film of the Big Blue. We'll have a romantic evening. She could smack you in the face. And that'll be that. Then you can come back here and we can do it all over again.
I think the hardest part about this is that it's five more days till the Giants have a chance to win another game.
That's the worst part about it. You remember the movie The Longest Day?
Oh,
this is the
man.
Longest week. I am telling you, we've been through. Listen, we started a season some seasons back, 0-6. Then we went through the next year, another six-game losing streak. But all I know is this has turned into the longest. It is Wednesday, so it's 3 days since they lost on Sunday night. I'm telling you, people need to calm themselves down. But in the meantime, that's a wrap here for Paul Dottino. I am Russ Salzberg. You've been watching Big Blue Kickoff. See you next time.
Woo!